Please join me in the reading of the scripture. This is Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, page 916 in your pew Bible. I'm reading from the God's Word translation. So it was not by obeying the laws and Moses' teachings that Abraham or his descendants received the promise that he would inherit the world. Rather, he received this promise through God's approval that comes by faith. If those who obey Moses' teachings are the heirs, then faith is useless and the promise is worthless. The laws and Moses' teachings bring about anger, but where those laws don't exist, they can't be broken. Therefore, the promise is based on faith so that it can be a gift. Consequently, the promise is guaranteed for every descendant, not only for those who are descendants by obeying Moses' teachings, but also for those who are descendants by believing as Abraham did. He is the father of all of us. As Scripture says, I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham believed when he stood in the presence of the God who gives life to dead people and calls into existence things that don't even exist, when there was nothing left to hope for. Abraham still hoped and believed. As a result, he became a father of many nations, as he had been told that is how many descendants you will have. Abraham didn't weaken. Through faith, he regarded the facts. His body was already as good as dead now that he was about 100 years old, and Sarah was unable to have children. He didn't doubt God's promise out of lack of faith. Instead, giving honor to God for the promise, he became strong because of faith and was absolutely confident that God would do what he had promised. That is why Abraham's faith was regarded as the basis of his approval by God. But the words his faith was regarded by the basis of his approval by God were written not only for him, but also for us. Our faith will be regarded as the basis of our approval by God. Each of us who believe in the one who brought Jesus, our Lord, back to life. Jesus, our Lord, was handed over to death because of our failures and was brought back to life so that we could receive God's approval. The word of God for the people of God.
And officially reading one of the most difficult scriptures in the entire Bible was our own Anna Claire Lucky. Great job. I was driving around town with my Maggie this week. Schools are out. Children are enjoying a break. When she told me that I, in fact, had the perfect job, I inquired to say, "Maggie, how so?" And she said, "Well, Daddy, once a week, you get to tell your stories and everybody has to listen." It's a smart kid, especially with the sermon that's ahead. Now, I don't know exactly why I've been thinking about this particular story. Perhaps it's because I had made the decision to give up sweets for Lent. But I'm here to tell you that one lady whose name was Christine Lewis, or as we called her at Camp McCall, Aunt B, had the best cinnamon rolls you have ever tasted. Now, Aunt B was the person that everybody agreed as the indispensable factor at camp. In fact, our camp director, Cliff Satterwhite, told us more than one time that I'll fire all of you before I would ever considering firing Aunt B. She kept us fed, and as a result of that, we were able to keep going. Aunt B was a lady who had silver white hair. She probably, I think, went and got a permanent about once a week. Tightly rolled, pristine, perfect. She had a certain southern twang to her voice. And every time she was about to level an opinion at you, her mouth would twitch from side to side. And you knew, buddy, you better be listening. Now, the thing about Aunt B's cinnamon rolls is that you never knew when they were going to appear. They just happened on their own. And when they did, oh, the celebration that ensued. Because Aunt B was not only someone that would just fix a cinnamon roll for every staffer and every camper, she would make sure that the staffers got more and more than they could ever imagine, so that after the campers went to bed, we would sneak back down to the kitchen and we would gorge ourselves entirely. But there was this one summer I remember particularly, because it was so rainy and cold in the South Carolina mountains. But it just so happened that during that summer, that all the rain that we had, it seemed like we were having a drought with the cinnamon rolls. Nobody could explain it. We just kind of poked around and asked one another, have you heard anything about the cinnamon rolls? Now, we knew better than to ask Aunt B. She was the matriarch. She held us spellbound, but it was on one particular Wednesday that we caught the sweet aroma of hope, if you will. It was wet and raining outside, and it was also the day at Camp McCall, every Wednesday, that we had our big hike with all of our campers. Now, nothing sounded worse that day. We had been dealing with wet, whiny kids all week in the cabin. The cabin had mutated and created this funk of smell. It's a combination of wet dog and a varsity locker room like that that I'm sensing and during my chaplaincy with our baseball team. It stung the nostrils and made the eyes water. But then it was time to line up for big hike, and all of us had to put on our bravest faces, even while knowing that none of us wanted to go forward. But then Aunt B, seeing and sensing the depression that was falling upon us, said the following. Boys, y'all just go on now and you have yourself a hike. When you get back, I'll have something special prepared for you. We began to look at one another at side eye. Did she mean cinnamon rolls? We didn't dare ask. So instead, we just lined up outside of the dining hall and began to make our march on our different hikes. My group had the 8-mile journey ahead of us to East Etowee Falls, which normally was enjoyable and beautiful to behold. But this was nothing more than an army-like slog. Left, right, we went. Kids wiping out down the side of the mountain, some of them balking completely, sitting off to the side, broken down, shouting aloud, I can't do it, I can't do it. Me in my best Christian attitude saying, yes, you can, while also wanting to say, kid, get up and get moving. We made it to the falls. We gave it a summary look and just oohed and ahed for a second before we turned back. Now, the walkie-talkies we had were in complete blackout mode. We didn't ever know what was going on back at camp until we were more than halfway back. But as soon as we got walkie-talkie reception and we turned our ears on, we heard the words being uttered across the airwaves, cinnamon buns. The word began to spread back down towards the line. Both the campers and the staffers began to become empowered by a promise that was becoming fulfilled in the midst of our journey. But that wasn't all. As we began to crest out of the valley and head back to the main camp road, it was nothing more than the sweet aroma of cinnamon buns that greeted us. Why, by that time, we counted it for joy, all the wind and the rain and the yuck that we had endured. We had been wayfaring strangers, but we were going home, baby, and we were flying on the wings of the cinnamon bun. Now, normally, we would have to wait outside until every table had been set and Aunt B gave the go-ahead, but not this time. She just opened up the doors and let us all come in. Now, I can't tell you for the life of me what we had for lunch that day. It was almost like an obligatory experience that you had to eat the main course until the dessert trays had been rolled out. And when she said, come and get it, You better believe we did. All of us going up to the front buffet, grabbing a tray of cinnamon buns and bringing it back to the tables where the hungry staffers and campers sat. And then in a scene that was anything like Jurassic Park in real time, we devoured those cinnamon buns. But then, as we learned with Aunt B, the best was always still to come. She had made two or three extra for every staffer. So we stuffed our pockets with cinnamon buns, and we feasted throughout the day. This journey with Aunt B, one who became so famous in the lore of Camp McCall that we even fashioned a t-shirt afterward. You can see her crystal white hair, tightly rolled permanent, and the t-shirt says, "This is how we roll." Yeah. She taught me more to life than just about cinnamon rolls. She taught me that we all need a promise to believe in. Life depends on it. We also need to see that promise being fulfilled in our journey. And then this, we all need to have the promise fulfilled so that we can look back on the journey, no matter how nasty and yucky it has been, and realize it was all worth it. Now, in the book of Romans, Paul is saying as much to this small, tiny, underground church in that big epicenter of a city in the ancient world. There's a band of Christians, only they're not called Christians. They're called followers of the way, and only Christianity is not a religion. In fact, it's viewed as a sect. And that's not good news if you lived in ancient Rome. For anybody that was not a recognized religion was open season for persecution, especially when said sect did not apply themselves to the imperial worship of the day, wherein everybody had to bow the knee to Caesar and say, "He is the Son of God." But instead, this band of faithful Jesus followers stands resolutely, yet with their knees knocking at the same times, looking at the journey before them and wondering, is it going to be worth it in the end? So that's why Paul reminds them of the same thing that we just heard through the story of Aunt B, although sadly, I don't think cinnamon rolls were around back then. He said, here's a promise you can believe in. Here's how you know that the promise is being fulfilled during your journey. And trust me when I tell you this, resurrection hope will come to fruition. And when it does, you will look back on your journey and you will realize it was all worth it. In order to do so, Paul uses a device called Midrash, something typical of Pharisaical Jews. When they would take the Hebrew Bible and they would reinterpret it in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul looks no further than one of the most important patriarchs of the entire Holy Scripture, who is none other than Father Abraham. Paul looks at the life of Abraham and said, Abraham needed a promise he could believe in. He needed to know that he would have a legitimate heir, as in a son, and he needed to know that that heir would have something to receive in way of inheritance. And lo and behold, if even while he was but in a far-off distant land called Ur of the Chaldeans, God spoke those very same things to Abraham, saying, go to the land that I will show you, and your descendants will be more than there are stars in the sky. He also needed to see that promise come into fulfillment, and he did. While he was in his new homeland of Canaan, Sarah, his elderly wife, became pregnant with Isaac, and they gave birth to Isaac. Isaac became the new heir to all that was to be Abraham's, and let me tell you, at that time, it was a princely sum, for Abraham had become a wealthy man, not only in terms of the material things of flocks and herds and silver and gold, but more importantly, he had a unique relationship with God. More than any other character in the Old Testament, Abraham is visited more by God in the person. And he's one of the few people that could ever influence God's decisions. Remember that story about Sodom and Gomorrah? Who was it that convinced God to spare that city of the wrath if only one just man, that being his nephew Lot, resided in that city? None other than Abraham. The promise already becoming fulfilled in his life. And yet there was this. Abraham needed that moment where he was going to be able to look back and realize the promise had been fulfilled. And in fact, it made all of his wandering journey, a pilgrim's journey, worth it. So God does this. In his lifetime, Abraham is able to see his son Isaac marry and himself have a family. And in the larger story of the world's narrative, it's because of Father Abraham that we in fact have three monotheistic religions that credit their origins to him: Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. All deeply tied to one named Father Abraham. Indeed, his descendants are as many, if not more, than the stars. Now, recounting that truth from the Hebrew Bible, Paul looks at this struggling church in Rome. He said, "You're all children of Abraham. Like Abraham, you will receive the same things from God, not because you practice the Jewish law, but because you practice faith in God. Because through faith, you can be the inheritors of all the promises of Abraham and more. You will get a promise to believe in. You will get the promise that through faith in Jesus Christ, you will have everlasting life." Now think about that for a group of people that is currently fearing death. They get the word from Paul, who is reflecting on the truth and the promise that through Jesus Christ, there is no fear of death anymore. You are secured a place in heaven forevermore. Believe in that. And then Paul says, by the way, whether you realize it or not, early church in Rome, the promise is becoming fulfilled in your very journey. Why? Look no further than your heart as it's being transformed into holiness. Some of you coming from Jewish roots, others of you coming from pagan roots, and now all of you coming together and practicing a radical, agape, God-like love that inexplicably, despite all the threats that are going out amongst this sect, are bringing people to the church by droves. So much so that in 323 AD, it's Christianity that the Emperor Constantine deems is the religion of the Roman Empire. No longer an outlawed sect, but in fact, the national religion. But moreover, he tells them this: trust, dear people, that the promise of resurrection hope will be fulfilled. As surely as Christ came and died and rose from the dead, he will come again. And all those who are alive in Christ or asleep in Christ at that point, their decision to follow Jesus Christ in faith will be honored, for they, like Christ, will rise with him in victory, immortality, forever and ever and ever. goes to say that that little church, like the little engine that could, just kept on going. They didn't give up. Instead of checking out, they checked in. They leaned in further. They gave more. They believed more. They loved more. And as a result, we recognize them today as people that were powered by a promise. But just like Abraham, just like the early church, they're no exception. Anyone here today needing a promise to believe in, you have it through Jesus Christ. He is with you. He is for you. He promises never to leave or to forsake you. The promise is the same and always will be. You too have the benefit to be empowered during your journey as that promise is becoming true. Whether or not you feel like you're killing it, or whether or not you feel like right now you're in a valley time, the promise of Jesus Christ is coming true in your life and the life of this church. As I look at the dreams that you've outlined through our strategic planning process, I cannot help but believe with all my heart that the best for a 176-year-old church is still yet to come. The promise is being fulfilled during our journey. And this, no matter the weary or tiresome nature of your journey, and I know the struggles are real and in plenty, know that the resurrection hope that we journey towards and are in fact becoming will be fulfilled. You will look back on this spot in your life, as Paul later writes, as nothing more than a light and momentary trouble in comparison to the glory that you have received. So hold on. Keep believing. Don't give up. Lean in, don't lean out. Increase and grow in your faith. It will be rewarded. You know, Aunt B, her story continues. Even though she's been dead now for 3 years, her legacy lives on. The kitchen at Camp McCall is named in her honor. This t-shirt is still in circulation, and people still talk about those famous cinnamon buns. Matter of fact, at her funeral, as dozens upon dozens of generations of camp staffers and campers gathered to celebrate her life, it was not a somber or defeated occasion. In fact, it was quite victorious. For as people packed in her little country church and sang the hymns and read the scriptures, they were reminded that it was Aunt B herself who was not only the procurer of the most delicious cinnamon rolls you have ever tasted, but one who was powered by a promise. She saw it come to fulfillment during her life, and she now saw it in its ultimate completion in heaven. Praise be to God. And to complement that scene, there in the funeral hall where they were celebrating her life, doggone it, if there was not also the sweet aroma of cinnamon buns. I think that's a reminder for all of us today to taste and see that the Lord of good is not just metaphor. It's supposed to be reality. So what do you do about a story about a lady named Aunt B and her cinnamon buns? Well, trust in the promise of Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Christ as Savior today, I personally want to invite you to do that, to believe in his promise today, and to make sure I or another pastor or someone in this church knows that you have accepted that promise. I want you to be empowered by that promise. I want you today to be reminded of that promise, that just like the bell clarinet played, he leadeth me. It's Jesus is in your life. He's leading you. Don't give up. Don't give in. The best is yet to come. And ultimately, we lean into the hope of this journey, that resurrection hope is not only something that is on the certain horizon, but is in fact something that we are becoming. And that, my friends, is a promise for the ages. Would you pray with me? God, be it through a lady named Ann B., cinnamon buns, the Holy Scripture, or the living presence of God himself that's here now in the sanctuary, we're reminded that we're on a journey, but we're empowered. We're powered by the promise of Jesus Christ. And in that, let every heart rejoice. And may every person truly live. We turn to respond to you now during this holy time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.